How many of you remember the very first time you had contact with the Church of God and met people and came in among them? And what was your impression of that moment and that time? And I certainly, from a personal example, just have to reflect back to a time in 1962 in Springfield, Missouri, when I came in for the first time to the Church of God. And I think I've mentioned this before, but in those days, I was met at the front door with a bunch of big burly deacons welcoming me, but first making sure that I had been invited. But coming into that church group, about 300 people, was the most marvelous change of anything I had experienced up to that age of about 20, 21, whatever I was back then. And then I had the opportunity in 1964 to go to Ambassador College and come in to be among the people of God that were at the headquarters of the church. But what struck me was the obvious unity. You know, people can be unified to revolt, to do whatever, but when it's properly led and when the unity is from God, and that is the title of this sermonette, Unity from God, it bears godly fruit. And I know over the years, over these recent decades, we've all struggled to keep the unity of the church, the unity of the faith. And there are ways you do that. But the most important thing I'd like to leave with you today is we need to each, question ourselves on whether or not the unity that we hold is indeed from God. My suggestion is that something we should be praying about. Pray for unity. Ask God for unity. You know, Jesus Christ is here in spirit with us today, and probably some of the holy angels watching over this, knowing what's going on. And I'll just be honest, I want to be unified with Jesus Christ and his leadership, and I think we are. But I would give some examples. 2 Chronicles 30 is a very interesting story about Hezekiah reestablishing the observance of the Passover. And as it turns out in 2 Chronicles 30, they had not prepared, or the priests had not, and Levites had not prepared themselves properly for offering sacrifices. So they put off the observance of the Passover to the second month, and that's what they did. In fact, they were so excited about keeping the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, I should say, all included, that they kept it again a second. They kept a second period of observance. But at this point, Israel had been taken captive. Judah was still intact. And a few of the people from the various tribes still were in the land. And Hezekiah sent out messengers to come keep the feast. And it's interesting, when you read through the chapter, it said they went out to Manasseh and Ephraim, and a few came from Manasseh initially, and a few from Ephraim a little bit later on. But the people, the messengers who were sent out, were laughed at and scorned. What? Go to Jerusalem to keep the feast? However, we get down to verse 12 of this chapter, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12. See what happened among those people who did respond. And responding to God is one of the key steps in becoming a part of that unity that I'm talking about. Verse 12, also the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. It came from God. He reinforced the willingness of people to go. It's like responding to your calling. God will lead you and bring you into the church of God, as he's done so many of us. Philippians 2 and verse 13. The Bible reinforces this concept throughout. Philippians 2 and verse 13. And here's something we must always, always keep in mind. It is God who works in you both to will, to want to do it, to have the get up and go to do it, and to actually do it for his good pleasure. God in our lives. And some more references here. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Speaking to the church here, Paul writes, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, not separate, not disunified, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You don't want a household that's all divorced and separated and broken up. You want a unified household. And that's part of our responsibility, and that's what we're fulfilling by us appearing before him, like those of years gone by have all done. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone," the truth of God, in other words, "in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." God's not going to accept a building that's all broken down and separated and in disarray. And continuing in verse 22, "in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We bear a lot of responsibility, don't we, to walk before God in a way that he will be willing to walk with us. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 22, or 21, I'll stop with. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. "Now," verse 20, "now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," look at the price that's being paid here for this unity that I'm talking about, Christ, the death of Christ, "make you complete in every good work to do his will." Again, I hearken back to the fact that God has to lead us into unity and sustain us in unity, and he does that through his laws, through the power of his Spirit. We're supposed to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Continuing then, "working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We have a few more days ahead of us, not nearly enough. I don't know if we can declare another feast at this point. But, brethren, we're part of something that is so grand, so marvelous, so certain in its future. And the way we'll have a part in that is by doing everything that God reveals to us in terms of changing and growing and overcoming, with the goal of keeping the church unified. We need to be unified with God, with Jesus Christ, with our brethren. And I think sometimes we need to get our own lives together and to be unified and not making excuses for haphazard and half-hearted attempts at being a Christian, but living the life. And I compliment you, for this is a great feast. the spirit of unity is certainly here now. And it's something we can maintain. But I just wanted to mention that because it's a recurring challenge, whether the little problems or big problems, and it's something we can fall back to and just ask God, give me that willingness of heart to serve you. It's what King David had. It's certainly what Jesus Christ had, totally. Leave you with one more reference, Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. These are the words of God, inspired by God. Let's live by them, brethren.